So I won't take very long tonight, but I've got a wonderful subject in mind. It sounds too good to be true, but it's not. But it is true. How'd you like to have, you know, we've got a song in the book, I Need the Prayers of Those I Love. How'd you like to have somebody praying for you? God always heard his prayers, and he always prayed perfect prayers for you. God always answered those prayers. That'd be great to have a friend like that, wouldn't it? Well, you got one. It's Jesus Christ. So this is not a fairy story. It's a true story. I'm going to bring you from the scriptures, and hope you might even remember some of these scriptures. But I'm going to go to just four or five scriptures. I really want to go to John 17, but I don't want to go there yet. I'm going to spend the last few minutes on John 17 because it's beautiful that we actually get to eavesdrop on a prayer that Jesus Christ prayed to his Father. I've had quite an experience with John 17 the last year or so. I preached through the Gospel of John. When I got to chapter 17, something happened. I ran across a man in England named Pierce, who actually is a Baptist, a good Baptist man, and he, a long time ago, and he actually preached 26 sermons out of this chapter, which is one sermon for every verse. And I ran across, and I read all of them, and none of them were boring or redundant. Now, I've lately become familiar with a man named Stephen Lawson, who has also preached those sermons. But anyway, what happened, I'm just going to be honest with you, I didn't used to like John 17. I didn't. That's crazy, because I didn't understand it. And now it's one of my favorite chapters. In fact, I memorized it. You know, Brother Henry memorized it, too. And so I memorized it, too. It's a kind of a hard chapter to memorize. It took a long time to do it. And I had something that happened to me when I was going through that sermon that I didn't do this to be superstitious or to make a show. I just felt impressed before I go to my office to take my shoes off because I was on holy ground. Because truly, John 17 is on holy ground. It's kind of like eavesdropping on the Holy of Holies of what we're really doing. And Jesus Christ prayed that prayer on purpose for us to hear it, that we might benefit by it, because he's praying for you and me right now. We get a sample of how he's praying for us when we read John 17. So I'm going to read a few verses to kind of set the stage, if you'll go with me to a few places. We got somebody praying for us, folks, and God always hears his prayers. It's wonderful. And I'm going to just turn to a few places. One would be over in 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. And there, John says this, my little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. So we ought to try hard not to sin. But we know we are going to sin, but we still ought to try not to. My little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. If any man sin, we have an advocate with his Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. We got an advocate praying for us and going to God on our behalf. Isn't that great? I heard a man make a statement one time about this verse, and I'll never have forgotten this. He said, you know, folks, we got it made. He said, when we had to go before the judge, it said that his son is the lawyer, and he's already paid our fine. So you can't beat that. So Jesus Christ, our lawyer, he's already paid our fine. Nobody can hold anything. God, listen, this is an amazing statement. God cannot hold anything against his elect because the sins have been paid for, and God is just God. So I'm a great sinner, but God doesn't hold that against me because my sins have been placed on Jesus Christ. Two or three more scriptures to get the stage set before I do go to John 17. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 7. A great verse here, and this is talking about Jesus Christ being our high priest. And remember about the high priest now in the Old Testament. I won't turn there now, but you know this to be true. The high priest in the Old Testament, when he went before the God the Father in the Holy of Holies, he had all the names of the children of Israel on his heart, the place of affection, and also on his shoulders, the place of strength. He might have to say, that's on there, and there for a reason. He's our great high priest, and he goes on behalf of his children to the Father. We're near the heart of God, and on his shoulders of the Lord God also. And look at this right here, because see, you may think people are not praying for me, but look at here. In Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that cometh to God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Isn't that beautiful? He ever lives. He's making intercession. And even that means he's praying for us. If I intercede on behalf of Brother Jim over there, I'm praying for him. And so Jesus Christ is going to his Father on my behalf. He's interceding for me. And God the Father always hears his prayers. Another verse I want to go to is one of my favorites in the whole Bible, is Romans chapter 8. And, of course, I'm going to go to verse 34. A lot of verses in there, but I want to go to verse 34. This is an amazing verse. Amazing verse in 34. Who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died, yet rather is risen again, who's even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. And one final one before I get to my text, is over in the last verse of Isaiah 53. And my heart gets touched. I've memorized this chapter a long time ago, and I kind of catch my breath when I get to that last verse because I know what a bad person I am by nature. And so I'm going to read this last verse, and that last clause always does get me right in the heart. This is Isaiah 53, verse 12. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great. He shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. He was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, made intercession for the transgressors. Are you a transgressor? I'm a transgressor. And it says here he made intercession for the transgressors. Now, one place I want to mention before I go to John 17 and read that chapter, read part of that, is over in Luke, and I think it's 22:32. But you'll remember this, because the Lord always hears the prayer of his son. And Satan was after Peter, and he gets after us sometime. I don't know whether he gives us the same attention he gave Peter or not. He gave Peter his unusual attention. And Jesus Christ said, Peter, said Satan has desired to sift thee as wheat. And if Satan were turned loose on us and we didn't have God to help us, we would be goners. Satan has desired to sift thee as wheat. I have what? What's that next word? I prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. He didn't say, if you're converted. He said, when? And Peter had a fall, but he didn't stay down. He would have stayed down, but Jesus Christ prayed for him. And he said, when thou art converted, I pray for thee, and his faith didn't fail. He had a lapse of faith, but not a failure. God's children are not going to have a total failure of faith. Because 1 John 5:4 says that. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, this is the victory which overcomes the world, even our faith. So, he's the author and finisher of our faith. And the reason that our faith I'll say this. We old Baptists know it takes God to get us saved, right? But guess what? It takes God to keep us saved. We're so weak, Brother Ed, if the Lord said, now, Zach, I'm going to hand you your salvation, keep it. In about 5 minutes, Satan would have tricked me out of it. And he would you too. He knows every loose string I got on my sinful nature. So my friend, not only does it take God to get us saved, it takes God to keep us saved, and he will keep us saved. So you remember that next time you fall. Don't lie there and wallow in it. Get up and get going again. He that had begun to get a work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. That's why Peter could fall and get on Pentecost and preach such a great sermon. The devil said, Peter, you can't preach anymore, man. You messed up. You denied the Lord 3 times. You finished. But he's a liar. So the Lord said, Peter, I'm going to restore you over here in the 21st chapter of John. He said, you love me. He said, you feed my sheep. You feed my lambs. And he did. And you can too. Let's go to John 17 and spend a few minutes. This is going to be an introductory, because like I say, if a guy can preach 26 sermons on this, I'm just going to preach one half of a sermon on it. I'm just going to be lying. But let me just say this. I got good news for you. Listen, I want to make this point if I don't make any more points. Jesus Christ is praying for his people to God the Father. Some of these prayers are directed especially to the apostles, but really it's really for all God's children. If you study it hard enough, what he said about the apostles really is also to his children. And some of it is plain to all of his children. Now, are you ready for this? He's preaching to people, he's talking about people in their presence, and he's praying out loud on purpose. He could have prayed in his heart to God the Father. He did not want to pray in his heart to God the Father. He wanted to pray out loud that his children could hear this prayer and get comfort from it, and we're still getting comfort from it over 2,000 years later. Isn't that beautiful? So he wants you to know about this. Now, he's praying for people who that very night are going to betray him. We think only Peter betrayed him. The Bible said in one place, and they all forsook him. That same night, they all forsook him. He prayed for people. But you know what? In this prayer, now put your seatbelt on. In this prayer, he does, and that's the way he's doing today, Brother Barnes. He got me. He doesn't change. David, in this prayer, he's not saying one bad thing about his children. And when our Savior today is going to God on your behalf, he is not saying anything bad about you. You got a lot of bad about you. He's not saying anything bad about it. Because he paid for those sins. Can you get a hold of that? Can you get a hold of that? He can say a lot of bad things about me, but he doesn't say one bad thing about me. It reminds me of Hebrews chapter 11. In Hebrews chapter 11, which is God seeing his children covered by the blood, he doesn't say anything bad about any of them. Noah got drunk, not Hebrews 11, he doesn't talk about that. Sarah laughed, he doesn't say anything about it over there. Abraham and Isaac both denied their wives, but not in Hebrews 11, you'll find it over there. Samson did a lot of bad stuff. Not in Hebrews 11 you don't find out about it. Because it's covered by the blood. Covered by the blood. Let's just read a little bit of this. These words spake Jesus, the ones he had previously spoken, probably in these last 3 or 4 chapters ahead. Now, this is beautiful. I wish I had time to comment on the whole thing, but if I had time, I still couldn't do justice to it. But I hope I've memorized this. It's a hard chapter to memorize, but it's worth every minute I put into it to meditate on it. And Jesus is interested in his glory and his Father's glory, and we ought to be interested in that too. That's one reason I'm glad to be an Old Baptist. My friend, we give God how much percent of the credit for salvation? 99 and 44, 100%? No, that's not good enough. That's just our result. We give him 100% of the credit for salvation. You can't brag on God too much. I saw a chart one time, not long ago. It said when you put God way up here and man way down here, you got a lot of glory in here, right, David? You start bringing God down a little bit, bring a man up, he reduces glory. Man is dead in trespasses and sins. Dead. God gets all the glory for salvation. So there's a lot of glory in there. Man, way down there where we ought to be, and God way up there where he ought to be. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou sent. And my friend, the more we know him, the more we enjoy that eternal life. Isn't that right? So we need to be in our Bibles and be praying, God, help me to know you even better. Paul prayed that in the Philippian letter. He already knew God real well, but he prayed in Philippians, that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, that he may conformable to his death. Paul had an insatiable desire to know in a personal way Jesus Christ better than what you and I ought to want to do also. It's like the song you heard this chorus, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full at his beautiful face, wonderful face, and the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. On my deathbed, that's what I want to see, but I don't want to wait until I get to my deathbed to see it. I have glorified thee on the earth. I finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Isn't that beautiful? I hope you may get stirred up and preach on all these verses. I don't know. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, the glory which I have with thee before the world was. Now, verse 6 blew my mind when I preached on this. This is what really got me. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them thee, and they have kept thy word. Brother Verse, I had kept his word. These guys had neither. And he's not lying. I think he's talking about the imputed righteousness through Jesus Christ, don't you? Oh, Christ obeyed for us. Listen, we don't only believe in passive obedience. That's the death on the cross. We believe in active obedience. It's not good enough to get our sins paid for. We've also got to live a perfect life. Isn't that right? You're the theologian. It's not, I've got to have my sins paid for, but I've also got to live a perfect life. I've got to have passive obedience and active obedience. He said, I've kept thy word. He kept it for us. Isn't that beautiful? He's talking about you. He's talking about you. This is just as good as it was when he said this. Let me read it to you again. The next time you get the feeling down. I have manifested thy name to men since thou gavest me out of the world. Thine thy word, thou gavest them me, and they kept thy word. That's a mind blower. Now, I'm going to read rapidly and not say things about every verse. But I hope I whet your appetite. I've heard about some pretty well-known preachers who ask people to read this to them while they're on their deathbed. That's maybe what I want. I don't know. Maybe Romans 8, Isaiah 53, read this and tell you, keep on reading. Keep on reading. Psalm 103, who knows? Now they have known that all things, whatsoever thou hast given me of thee. For I have given it to them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine. Isn't it wonderful to hear how he and the Father are both claiming us? They're both claiming us. These are personal pronouns, possessive pronouns. All mine are thine, and thine are mine. And I'm glorified in them. And now I'm no more in the world, because he's fixing to go to the Father. But these are in the world, and I come to thee. Now listen, this ought to make you feel good. We're talking a lot about politics today. It's not wrong to do that. We're living in turbulent times. We wonder if I can make it. Listen to this verse. And now I am no more in the world, but these in the world. I come to thee. Holy Father, keep to thine own name those whom thou hast given me. They may be one as we're one. You're going to be kept. You can guarantee that. He prayed, you'll be kept. Everything you need, you're going to have it. Maybe not everything you want. Isn't that good? Listen, he prayed that. And God is going to answer that prayer. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I've kept. None of them is lost, but the son of perdition, the scripture might be fulfilled. Now look at verse 13. This tells us he wants us to know how much he loves us and how much he's praying for us. This is why he prayed out loud. Look at this, verse 13. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Lord, I'm talking out loud that they can hear me, they might have my joy fulfilled. He could have prayed silent prayer. That's not what he wanted. He wants you to know, he wants you to know about your great salvation. Now, this explains this next verse, what's happening in our country right now. You ready for this? This explains what's happening in our country. Brother Ed. I have given them my word. The world has hated them because they're not of the world. Even I'm not of the world. Well, Lord, let's go to heaven right now. Nope, not till he's ready for you to come to heaven. You've got a job to do. Look at verse 15. I pray not that thou should take them out of the world. Why not? Because thou should keep them from evil. I got some more work for you to do. You know, when Sister Helen Beecham was on her last legs and was losing her mind and her strength, and I love her so much, and I was preaching on this verse when that happened to David, and I got some insight. God wasn't ready for her yet. I don't know why she had to linger so long. You may have loved us lingering a long time too. Sister Betty had a hard time back there, Daryl. And when God gets ready for her, he'll take her home. But not until he gets ready. I pray not that I should take them out of the world, but that I should keep them from the evil. They're not of the world, even I'm not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. We need to be more and more sanctified by God's wonderful truth. So let's be in our Bibles and be going to church, hear the sermons preached, and live in the Bible. And we've got a job to do, too. Look at here. We got Tower Trinity Baptist Church got a job to do. You as an individual Christian have got a job to do. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so also have I sent them into the world. He sent you into the world for a reason. Don't let your light so shine before men, they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You don't have a useless life. You got an important life. And for their sakes I sanctify myself that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. He really gets down to pray for us now, isn't he? I don't understand the depth of these next verses. There's a magnificent unity we have in Jesus Christ. We have a wonderful unity. You know, we love God's children, don't we? There's some God's children that don't even believe the truth, like I wish they did. My dentist is a Methodist, and he's an Arminian. But I know he loves Jesus Christ. I know he does. I love Dr. McLean. I wrote him a letter not too long ago. He's an old man, kind of discouraged. I wrote him a letter, cheered him up. He called me on the phone and said, Zach, you know what that did for my morale. I love him. I love all Christians, David. I love the old Baptists the best because we believe the same thing, and we just, that helps you to have more fellowship. But I tell you, there's a unity that Christians have. And someday in heaven, it'll be manifested, there won't be any differences anymore. It'll be a perfect unity with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, and all of His children. So I know I don't understand the depth of all this, but I'm already anyway. That they all may be one, even as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, the world may believe that thou sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I've given them. They may be one even to one. They'll be manifested someday. We're going to be glorified. I heard E.V. Hill, the old Afro-American preacher, preach. He's dead now. And he preached a sermon, and I got to just crying when I heard it. I was driving my car like I drove off the road. And I bought a tape. And his wife was dying of cancer. If you heard the sermon, you ought to get it if you had ever heard it. And he said he got to talking to the Lord about his wife. And he said, E.V., he said, listen, he said, trust me. He said, trust me, E.V., hey, you think she's pretty? Hey, you wait till I get to her, you see her again, if you think she's pretty now. And I'll say it to you too. My friend, your loved ones who've gone before, you won't believe what they're going to look like if you see them again. You're going to be shining as the sun in its brightness, because it says that in Daniel chapter 12. Glorified body, Brother Ernest. Glorified body. We can't imagine. No more eye trouble. No more mind trouble. No more any kind of trouble. The glory which thou gavest me, I've given them, that they also may be one even as we are. I and them and thou and me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou sent me, hath loved them as thou hast loved me. All right, you're going to see him someday in glory. You know why I know this? Listen to this verse 24. Listen to verse 24. Father, I will, and he gets what he wants, doesn't he? Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me. The foundation of the world. Jesus Christ wants us to see him in his glory. You know, when something good happened to me, it's a lot more fun if somebody can share it with me, right? My wife is the closest person on earth to me. And so if something good happened to me, I can't wait to come tell Judy about it. It just makes it much better. I get to share with somebody who cares something about me. And Jesus Christ loves his children. He said, God, I want my children, my brothers and sisters I died for, to see me in my glory. That they may enjoy it with me, and we will enjoy it with him. And then David, I don't know whether you ever heard him or not. You ever hear George Emmett Rushy pray? Listen to this verse. It's going to get you. You can probably hear his voice right now. This old deacon brother, David's granddaddy, my great uncle. Listen, I can just hear him say it now. Oh, righteous Father. Remember that, David? Oh, righteous Father. Jesus Christ is calling his Father, righteous Father. Oh, righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou didst send me. I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Study that prayer. One more thing I'm going to do. I'll memorize this too, but I'm afraid I'm going to mess it up. So I'm going to read it to you. I love this. We have an advocate. We have an accuser of the brethren, the devil. He accuses the saints of God day and night, but doesn't do a bit of good because of our advocate. So listen, now this is the last thing I'm going to do. I sinned, and straightway, post haste, Satan flew before the presence of the Most High God and made a running accusation there. He said, this soul, this thing of clay and sod has sinned. It is true, he's named thy name, but I demand his death. Thou hast said, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Shall not thy sentence be fulfilled, it judges dead? Send now this wretched sinner to his doom. What other thing can righteous ruler do? And thus he did accuse me day and night, and every word he spoke, O God, was true. Then quickly one, that's a capital O, quickly one rode up from God's right hand, before whose glory angels veil their eyes. He spoke, each jot and tittle of the law must be fulfilled. The guilty sinner died. But wait, suppose all his guilt were transferred to me, that I paid his penalty. Behold, my hands, my side, my feet, one day I died. One day I made sin for him and died that he might be presented faultless at thy throne. And Satan flew away. Full well he knew he could not prevail against such love, for every word my dear Lord spoke was true. That's our advocate. Devil ain't got a chance against you.